In the name of Jesus, amen. The text for this morning's sermon comes from the 8th chapter of Mark. In the 1999 movie, The Green Mile, there is a dramatic scene in which a Louisiana state penitentiary officer leads a prisoner to his cell for the first time, and his cell is on death row. The whole time, the officer, in almost a chant-like tone, exclaims, dead man walking, dead man walking. Now, surely this is a crass and even dehumanizing thing to do to someone, but for the purpose of an illustration, it's apt and true. The criminal had been tried and lawfully convicted, and his sentence was death by electrocution. The only difference between him and an actual dead man was that he wasn't quite dead yet. In many respects, this visual can also be applied to our gospel text for today, for in it we hear of 4,000 souls afoot in the wilderness with nothing to eat. It might be hard for us to imagine 4,000 people literally starving to death in our current context of abundance, but that is exactly the situation that Jesus and his disciples are looking at. And 80 hungry busloads of people longingly look back at Jesus, the man whom they followed now for 3 days into the desert. And St. Mark doesn't tell us how the crowd was acting, if they were grumbling like the Jews in the Exodus, or if they were just patiently and faithfully soldiering along. No, St. Mark only tells us what Jesus said. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. In other words, these were dead men walking. And that's the truth of it. If someone doesn't take care of these people, they will pass out in the desert and become food for buzzards. This wilderness is not a national forest with a park ranger station down the road, and nor is it the 40 acres in your backyard. It's the same kind of awful, foodless, hopeless wilderness that Jesus was thrown out into in the first chapter of Mark to be tempted for 40 days by the devil. In short, it's an uninhabited wasteland. There's nothing to forage, nothing to hunt or to catch. There are no shops or stores for people to purchase food. All the crowds have is the wind-driven dust stinging their eyes as an omen of what they will become if they are not given something to eat. The reality of the crowds is not that much different from the reality that faces each and every one of us here this morning. Conceived into original sin as we were, we come into this world without an ounce of righteousness to our names. Each of us is a desert of righteousness unto ourselves, incapable of producing righteousness or even indeed sustaining life. We have none, nor can we by our works hope to obtain any. You cannot scrounge for any, you can't buy any, you can't inherit any from mom and dad. No amount of good old American bootstrap pulling is going to get you out of this situation that you find yourself in. You can only hope to beg. Indeed, all of mankind shares in this condition, for all of us apart from Christ are dead men walking. And the strange thing is, we know it. You can see it in the psyche of mankind throughout all of human history. It's as old as the saying, carpe diem, and as new as the saying, you only live once. Sayings such as these show that man understands the shadow of vanity that death has cast over life, but they also illustrate how woefully wrong man is in answering that vanity. In this error, sinful man clings to anything with all his might, any cause or movement or idea that staves off, if just for a little bit, the moment or the thought that he is indeed a dead man walking. And so, like a drifting and dehydrated sailor, he gorges himself on seawater and dies of thirst. Thus, you and I, and all of mankind, find ourselves in the dusty sandals of the crowd in today's gospel text. We're in a situation that we cannot possibly get ourselves out of. If Jesus does not feed the crowd, they will faint on the way, and indeed then they are already dead. And if Jesus does not save you, well, dead men walking. But seeing the crowd huddled around him, Jesus does not scold or chastise or smite them. No, the text says that he had compassion on them. This word compassion, it is the divine picture of the face of God. This compassion is Jesus showing his hand, telling all who were there and all who read the scriptures who he really is. This is the divine attribute of the one true God that drives him to all kinds of acts of benevolence. For when Jesus acts out of compassion, all of the powers of sin are undone. Compassion is what drives Jesus to raise the son of the widow from the dead in Luke chapter 7. Jesus, the man whose son had been possessed by a demon in the 9th chapter of Mark, appeals to Jesus' compassion to save his son. This same divine attribute is illustrated in the parable of the prodigal son, when a father has compassion on his wayward son who is still a long way off. And it is the compassion of the good Samaritan that causes his kindness, that causes him to sustain, help, and indeed save a man who is left for dead on the side of the road and beset by robbers. And in our text today, it's the compassion of Jesus that moves him to feed 4,000 hungry souls in the desert, lest they faint and perish. You see, there's a theme to this compassion that is illustrative for us. When Jesus acts out of compassion, every aspect, every single aspect of sin is undone. The wages of sin is death, the scriptures tell us, and not just our earthly death that we will all face, but everything related to it. Disease, sorrow, destroyed relationships, evil, and all of the works of the devil. Jesus, out of compassion, undoes all of these things. He brings the dead to life. He casts out the demons. He restores a father and a son, and he undoes the work of robbers and brigands. And he even fills the hungry with good things. This word compassion, it is so important because it answers the question of why. It gives us heavenly insight into the mind of God himself. Think on this, for we can hardly in our own lives derive the thoughts and motivations of our friends and neighbors, let alone deduce the contemplations of God. But St. Mark and St. Matthew's account, for that matter, clearly say that Jesus miraculously feeds the 4,000 people with only 7 loaves of bread and a few fish because of his compassion. He is not doing this miracle to prove that he is God, and nor is he doing it as some sort of show to exhibit his power. No, Jesus does this miracle for no other reason than that he has compassion on the poor, hungry, and helpless crowds in front of him. And so, if the text says that we share in the state of the crowds in their helpless condition, then joy of joys, it must follow that we too share in the compassionate favor that befalls them from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, this is your lot in life now. No longer are you, as a baptized child of God, wandering the desert. No, instead, just like the crowds in today's text, you are sent back to your homes, to your lives, and you are full. Here again our text. And he directed the crowd to sit on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, He broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. They were satisfied. They were full. In other places, this word is translated as well-fed or even gorged. They feasted. Jesus doesn't just give them a power bar or some trail mix. No, they feast on bread and fish, and they eat their fill. A similar thing will happen this morning in just a few minutes. The words of Jesus will be heard, thanks will be given, bread will be distributed amongst the hungry followers of Jesus, and they will eat, and they will be made full. And just like the crowds, they will go home saved from their impending peril by their Lord Jesus Christ. There's another interesting fact about this miracle. 7 baskets of food are left over. You see, Jesus doesn't just squeak by with the last of the 4,000 getting the crusts or the ends of the loaves. No, Jesus is rather inefficient in his food preparation, making enough to feed a brigade and then some. And this is, again, the divine identity of Jesus showing. For it seems that wherever Jesus is doing miracles, there is some amount of overkill. At Cana, Jesus provides a copious amount of booze for the wedding party, and twice he almost capsizes boats by causing well over a DNR limit to show up in their nets. When God acts, there is no doubt. This picture of abundance and fulfillment, it is the Christian life. It is the life that we, in reality, now live because of Jesus' ultimate work of compassion on the cross on Good Friday. There on Calvary, he looked down from the cross at the whole sinful world, helpless and destitute, and he had compassion on them. Because of this work of Christ, which he was compelled to do by his divinely compassionate nature, we now have a right standing before God in heaven. No longer do we wander the wastelands of this world, hungry and waiting to die. Instead, we, like the crowds, go home to our vocations, fully satisfied and filled and ready for every good work. Now, every day, we navigate the perils of this fallen world, walking not by sight, but by faith in Jesus, who sustains us, the very bread of life. Dear saints, today we must learn a lesson from the crowds. Learn that although they lacked food, shelter, or any other type of security for that matter, they were still fed and satisfied, because they were with their Lord and Savior. For to be with Jesus is to have everything. And if we have everything else, yet we lack him, then in reality, we have nothing at all. This is why Martin Luther could rightly say, "I, for one, would not want to live even in paradise without the Word. But with the Word, it would be easy to live even in hell." Learn also from the crowds to not be shy when it comes to dining on the fare that Jesus provides. Come, fill yourself at his table as often as it is provided. Drown yourself daily in the refreshing waters of your baptism and delight every moment in the decadency that is the Holy Word. For if Jesus does not feed you with these things, then all you are is a dead man walking. Amen.